but you're taking an ugly thing and putting it in a pretty package. You're putting poison on a spoon full of sugar. Helps the medicine go down. And what I mean by that is most of the speech, most of it, I would say, is this like call to unity, like no violence, let's have love, let's have peace, let's stand up for America, we have to work for freedom, all of that. And it was really great. Like if you were to cut out like 20% of the speech, it would be a great unifying speech. The problem is throughout the whole speech is peppered in this idea of we are the people and there is this bad guy, this enemy that we're uniting against, and it's the people who voted for Trump.
Welcome back to The Tax Show. We are your hosts, Remington and Chase. That works pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll never know.
They'll never know. How would they know?
How would they know? So, what's been new in the life of Chase recently?
Oh, just lots of work.
Yeah?
Lots and lots of work, yeah. Yeah. You?
I pruned my apple tree, which it's more of like a super pruning process because I'm just going to cut off all the branches and we're harvesting it.
Really, really big.
Yeah, it's not anymore. It's just, but it's kind of tall because I couldn't reach the top ones.
So it's like a Japanese tree up and then flat?
No.
Not quite.
Not quite. It's its own thing. Mm. It's just its own thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to talk about today?
You know, we got lots of things we could talk about today. I think one of the main things there is to talk about is obviously the Joe
speech.
Biden speech.
Oh, you said the same thing I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would almost think that we coordinated that, but we didn't.
We didn't
coordinate that. Okay, so let's talk about the speech, and let's talk about Star Wars. Yeah?
I am the Senate!
Yeah. So, do you remember in Star Wars episode 2 or 3? I don't remember which one it was. I think a little bit of this is from episode 2 and a little bit's from episode 3.
When Jar Jar Binks convinces everyone to give emergency powers to the Grand Chancellor?
Yep, so that happened in episode 2, right?
Yeah.
And we saw that, and it was kind of like, you know, looking at it, you're like, oh, that's a bad idea, you know?
Yeah.
But at the time, it seemed like a good idea, because when you need a clone army, you need a clone army, right?
I mean, come on. But they've already been making it for a long time, so.
Yeah. When you need to justify your clone army, you need to justify your clone army. Which I feel like that's how a lot of things in the government works. It's like, oh, here's this bad thing we did, but
we got to justify it, so.
Yeah. So anyway, so that happened. And that's been happening over the last, like, 10 years especially. There's been a lot of, like, well, hey, emergency powers, you know, like COVID emergency powers, this emergency powers. Oh, we're in a state of emergency.
We're still in an emergency because they're still authorizing vaccines under emergency use authorization 2.5 years later. What a scary emergency.
And then after it becomes and then in episode 3, he's like, you know, the First Galactic Empire, right?
Yeah.
And then he has like the speeches and everything, and it's all very Galactic Empire themed, you know?
Yeah.
That speech happened recently.
We did have that speech recently, didn't we? I mean, except it wasn't quite the First Galactic Empire. It was more of the, these are the bad guys.
Yeah, so
here comes the Empire.
What it reminded me of, and I'm not equating these two parties that I'm about to say right now.
Okay.
I'm not equating them, except for in the usage of the speech.
Okay.
And how the politics kind of worked in Star Wars Episode 3. The Jedi and the MAGA Republicans. So in this recent speech by President Joe Biden, did I say his name right? President Darth Biden. There is don't name call, guys.
It's not Darth Biden, it's Dark Biden.
Dark Biden.
Dark Biden. That's actually like his own followers are like, yeah, Dark Biden. And they're like throwing that meme around. So you can call him Dark Biden and they won't be offended. Yes, his own followers are doing that. And yes, that does scream dystopian. Welcome to the First Galactic Empire. But they're doing it anyway.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Pretty sure the Klingons had their Galactic Empire first, but okay.
Don't tell that. It was a prequel trilogy. Okay, so it was before.
Before the Klingons. That was before the Klingon Empire, guys. Okay, so the speech itself was interesting in that it had a lot of really good points. Or rather, yeah, Like
it was like whispering sweet nothings.
It was kind of like, yeah, we should be unified as a country. We should have optimism and peace and love and all that stuff. And I'm totally behind all that. You know what I mean? But that's where it gets insidious. Did I say Darth Sidious? No, I said insidious, but similar tactics here. And I've said this, if you watch our YouTube shows, you'll hear me say this like in the last, like all three videos that we talk about this. But you're taking an ugly thing and putting it in a pretty package. You're putting poison on a spoon full of sugar. Helps the medicine go down. And what I mean by that is most of the speech, most of it, I would say, is this like call to unity, like no violence. Let's have love. Let's have peace. Let's stand up for America. We have to work for freedom. All of that. And it was really great. Like if you were to cut out like 20% of the speech, it would be a great unifying speech. The problem is throughout the whole speech is peppered in this idea of we are the people and there is this bad guy, this enemy that we're uniting against. And it's the people who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And that's problematic because a large amount of people voted not just because of, I'm going to say what I'm going to say and then I'm going to argue with myself here. It's problematic because a large amount of people voted for Trump. And so it's not just like some fringe group. Now, that being said, it doesn't matter how many people we're talking about here. It could be 1% of the population, it could be 0.0001% of the population, or it could be half the population. It is harmful to dehumanize or other, as we use that as a verb sometimes, another group of people, regardless of how big or small their population is. We should not treat them as other. The people who are in the United States are Americans, period. Saying like, we're all Americans except for this particular group who is horrible and evil, and we should all live in love, peace, and harmony in opposition to this horrible group is not helpful whatsoever, and it's harmful in my opinion.
Yeah.
Push back on me. Do it. Do it.
Okay, the only pushback I can do is when you have an actual attacking force that is trying to destroy, you need to be able to point out the group that is doing so and take that group down. So, like, say you have an actual, I'm just going to go extreme. Say you have a terrorist group who is committing bombings systematically across the nation.
Yeah.
You need to have a way that you can call out that group and, for lack of a better term, other them so that you can identify and bring them to justice. But that doesn't mean you go attack them and go fight them. It means you send them through the justice system.
And what's important is really specifying and narrowing down who those people are, right?
Yeah.
So-and-so are doing this bad thing and we need to stop them. As opposed to, you know, there have been instances where people claiming to be Christian groups cause harm to people. You know, there was the subway gassing in Japan, for example, yeah. Right? If you were to say, hey, these people who are claiming to be doing this in the name of Christianity or whatever, and you say, these Christians, these extremist Christians who are, you know, Christians are ruining our country. That is really, really bad. Because it's not Christians are ruining the country. It's so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so did these particular actions and are still at large.
Yeah.
Right? That's a very different thing. You know, it's very reminiscent. I keep saying this. I hinted at it very not subtly in those other videos, but I'm just going to outright say it. It's very reminiscent of, you know, the Nazi Germany stuff with like, hey, we are a unified, wonderful Germany that we want to bring our country to the next level and the next age. But if it weren't for those pesky Jews, we could do that.
Yeah.
So we need to all unify, except for those Jews who are destroying our country and stealing our jobs and dirtying our bloodline so that we can move into the future because we are all Germans here. We all matter. And being German means something, unless you're a Jew, you know, or gay or disabled or black or whatever, you know? And so it was reminiscent of that. And I, of course, like people overuse that, you know, like, oh, he's literally Hitler. I don't think Joe Biden is literally Hitler. I think there was only one person who is literally Hitler. But those same tools, it doesn't matter what age you live in or who's using the tools. Tools can be used by everybody. I can use a hammer. Oh, wait. I can use a hammer. Chase can use a hammer.
Remington likes to use hammers to smash spiders.
I do. I use this to smash spiders in the studio. But the thing is, the tool or the rhetoric or whatever we're going to call it is the same regardless of the time and place and person. And that's what we're talking about. So this whole like, oh, they're Hitler, like that's not it. Like this tool that's used to divide people by packaging something really ugly in something really nice so that people will absorb it is a dangerous tool, regardless of who uses it. Trump, Biden, Hitler, Mahatma Gandhi, like whoever happens to use it. Chase is a big fan of it.
So actually it's kind of weird. As you're talking about it, I'm thinking about Trump's speech, what they call the...
Insurrection speech?
The fine people hoax.
What?
The fine people hoax. And what it is
Trump said... Oh, the fine people on both sides thing?
Yeah, he said, accepting the Nazis, they're terrible. There are good people on both sides here. And that's a scenario where you look at it and Trump used that, where he othered one group. Now, at that point, there's some nuance there. Which group is worth othering? Is it everyone who voted for Trump or is it the neo-Nazis? I think one thing you can come upon is half the nation maybe is in agreement that you should other one group. Whereas with the neo-Nazi scenario, it's a vast, vast majority of the nation is saying, yeah, we should probably not say there are fine people on the neo-Nazi side. But having said that, does that make it right?
Yeah. Pushing back a little bit against that, on the surface, we think that that's very normal. Well, yeah, like neo-Nazis are bad people because Nazis are bad people, right? But the thing is, a lot of Nazis, real-life Nazi party members, we could say, for the most part, were good people. And some of them did some really horrible things. Some of them didn't do some really horrible things. Some of them were just a member of the current party. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the snowflake doesn't blame itself for the avalanche, right?
Sure, I'm not saying, so here's where the differentiation is. Not like is somebody culpable or not. That's not the argument that I'm going with. What I'm saying is that like good person and bad person is a very nuanced topic. Yeah. It's like everybody is a human and all humans have a mix of good and bad.
Yeah.
And so just because somebody has a particular label or belongs to a particular club, we might be like, oh, well, they're a bad person because they belong to the bad club. Now, and they might even do bad things. Do you know what I mean? But we have to be careful with the like breaking people into the good or the bad, you know? And that's why when we talk about specificity with like crimes, it's like, hey, this person did this specific thing, not this person believes in an evil ideology. So we need to like destroy them. And I think that that's really the point I'm making. Not the people who were in the party are culpable. So, cause it's easy to be like, oh, they're bad guys because they're in the bad guy club. But the thing is, we're human. Everybody's human. Everybody's nuanced.
Yeah, the main difficulty about that is it's... you can't go through life without labeling things. You sure. can't...
But when we talk about... Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I started. I'm just going to finish. But when we're talking about application of the law, that's another story. Like, you need to have, like, real specificity there. Now, of course, we're not necessarily talking about application of law because we're talking about rhetoric, right?
Yeah.
So,
there has to be a way to identify the world around us. And because I can't get to know all 8 billion people on the planet, I have to have ways of simplifying that vast number that my head can't wrap around. So there have to be ways to identify. Now, if you're self-identifying as a group that someone else sees as evil, you're going to understand that people are going to think you're evil, right? So if you self-identify as a MAGA Republican, you have to understand that there is a group of people who are going to think you're evil. If you self-identify as a socialist or even more so a nationalist socialist, you're going to end up with scenarios where people think you're evil. You kind of have to accept with the territory that comes with the label. Because we have to have a way to label people. But what we have to do is make sure that our public policy is not reflective of someone's biases toward a group. Right. Even if that is the Nazis, we can't have a legal system that puts a separate standard on the Nazis that it does on your preferred party of choice.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to acknowledge what you're saying because I think there's obviously some efficiency validity there, right?
Yeah, well... and scope of reality, right? Like, you can't get to know every single nuanced situation.
Right. And that's efficiency, right? Like, in order to, So then it does bring into the idea of, like, Christianity. Because one of the things with, like, in the New Testament, the story of Jesus, is he specifically is found interacting with and spending time with people who are in those bad guy classes, those bad guy labels, right?
Yeah.
And kind of the message there that I take from it is these bad guy labels don't help us with, yes, they help us with like our day-to-day efficiency, like safety, security, but they don't help us with bettering our community on a deeper, more human level.
Yeah.
And I think that, when we take that time, and there is a mix there probably, right? Like there is a mix of like, for example, I have some pretty strict rules for my kids and their safety, you know, and I'm not like, hey, everybody's a good person deep down. You got to talk to them.
Okay. So let's name this group. If we just say the group of pedophiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say that group. All right, we're going to have to set a separate set of rules for that group. And I'm trying to find extremes here to find at what point does the principle still stand, or is there a point where the principle breaks? Okay. So if you go to pedophiles, very, very maligned group, say for right or for wrong.
And let's define pedophile here real quick, because this is really, this particular definition that I need to put in here is really key. Are we talking about people who have, for lack of a better word, diddled kids, or are we talking about people who want to diddle kids but haven't? Because that's a key distinction when we're talking about how to treat, especially legally.
Yeah, legally, it's very important that that's a different distinction. It's hard to say, because when we're talking about rhetoric, and you know the likelihood of someone diddling kids is in direct correlation to their desire to diddle kids, for rhetoric's sake, I don't see a massive difference. Okay. For legal sake, I see an incredibly wide, vast Grand Canyon difference, right? But for just the way that we talk about certain thing,
right,
I'm not sure I see an enormous difference.
Gotcha. So anyway, you wanted to say pedophiles.
Oh, so take the group of pedophiles. Is there a scenario where it's okay to malign a certain group because what the group is doing and the definition of what puts you in that group is a harm towards society?
That's interesting too, because I do think that pedophiles, again, is a nuanced topic, because there are people who like very much want to diddle kids and who are actively taking steps to convince society that that's okay, which I disagree with.
Yeah.
But then there are people who are like, hey, I have this propensity toward feeling like I want to diddle kids, but if you were to ask me, I would say I don't want to diddle kids and I want to get help for that kind of thing. And I think that distinction is kind of key as to like those two groups. Now, of course, like how you might involve your kids in those people's lives might be the same. But when you're talking about like how you're going to treat them in other ways, it might be different depending on the person and what treat them actually means.
Yeah. Now, if you've listened to this show when we previously talked in depth about
this
topic.
We love talking about pedophiles.
You know that there is a less level of disagreement on this topic between the two of us. That's not worth getting into again, because we go through it ad nauseum in that other episode for like over an hour. But what we see here is that Remington is far less likely to group someone and or put label a group and then call that group bad than I am. I'm more okay with it than he is, which is probably actually a negative toward my my possibility towards like a potential political run. It means there's probably some red flags in there that maybe you don't want me in a political position as compared to Remington because of that willingness that I have versus him. Not that I want to run for any political position. I don't. It's just thinking out loud. But I think it's important that people understand where they stand on these things. If they understand their position, they can understand what's a good place for them to go to, what they think is right and wrong, and what way they should vote. And my position on this is I understand the desire to be kumbaya and treat each individual as an individual, but at some level, it's not possible to get to know each individual. We have to have a labeling system, despite the negatives that come with it.
And I think there are some labels that are going to be inherently bad. And if label, and people should just do everything in their power to not get that label on them.
So I think that one other really key distinction here is the difference between pedophilia and pedophile. So like pedophilia, I will say, yes, that's bad. That's bad. And we can use that as a label of like, this is bad. This thing is bad. The problem with people is...
But one cannot exist without the other.
And I want to take, I want to use a different example from pedophilia, if we can. So just like, I don't know, some philosophy or something. Like
okay, pick one.
Stoicism.
The problem is we have to pick a philosophy that the vast majority of people think is evil.
So just
and that's what makes it difficult.
But just for the sake of difference, because like the vast majority of people don't think that voting for Trump people were evil.
Exactly.
I mean?
So it doesn't, the vast majority of people think that pedophilia is evil. So that's where it's like,
right, but just for
we
the
have
sake
to pick
of,
something that's vast majority evil.
I just want to pick something for the sake of clarity.
Okay.
So let's just say stoicism. Okay. So there's stoicism, stoics, right? So if say I think stoicism is bad.
Okay.
Which I don't, but whatever. And I say stoicism is bad.
Twice in one recording. Good grief.
And I say stoicism is bad. That's different from saying stoics are bad. And what I mean by that is a person might today identify as a stoic or like identify with the concepts of stoicism, whereas tomorrow they may learn something that may change that altogether. And so the same thing could be said of neo-Nazis, right? Like there was Daryl Davis, who's famous for changing the minds of neo-Nazis.
Yes.
And so that's where it gets a little tricky, because we can say like neo-Nazism or Nazism is bad, right? But the danger that we have is saying like these human beings are horrible human beings. And yes, there are certain beliefs and practices for sure, that are bad and horrible. And we all agree on that, right? Like murder is a bad thing for sure. Do you know what I mean? Racism, not cool, right? That being said, people are more plastic, meaning more flexible through change or changeable than ideas are. Ideas are like a thing. Like you have that idea or you have a different idea,
yeah.
You know? And then of course, like ideas can evolve, but you know what I'm saying? Like an idea can...
Yeah, but so my pushback on that is going to be, if someone decides that they don't like neo-Nazism, they no longer have the neo-Nazi label, right? They have now changed and that no longer applies to them.
Yep.
Whereas that neo-Nazi label can still be bad. And it was bad while they had it, and it's bad now, and it's bad still that they don't have it, mm-hmm. but they themselves no longer have that label.
Right.
Now, that does require labels to be actually applied correctly, and right. No one's going to agree on what the correct application of the label is. So that's another difficulty in the argument I'm trying to put forth here. But
right. Well, I do think, yes, and I think if we look at this from a practical standpoint, I think there's merit to both sides of this. So the merit to having the kind of othering those groups that would be classically evil, right? Whatever we want to call it. But the problem with that is we all have different ideas of what evil is. Obviously, Joe Biden thinks that people who voted for Trump are evil. And so there's a lot of disagreement there, right?
Actually, if you ask him more recently, as of 2 days after this speech, no, I don't think anyone's an enemy to this country. I don't think any American's an enemy to this country. When asked directly about if he thought MAGA Americans were still an enemy of this country, he said, no, I don't think any Republicans are an enemy to this country.
Sure.
So he's pulling back on that, I guess.
But supposing that all I know is the speech.
Yeah.
And like that's such a controversial thing that maybe some of those things that we think are like pure evil, you know, not everybody agrees on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is some nuance there that goes, again, down to these two practical sides. So one is when we do another group, maybe we encourage them not to be part of that evil group, right?
Yeah.
They call somebody a evil MAGA person and then maybe they won't be anymore. The practical side of, say, differentiating between the group ideology and the individuals within the group, the practical side of that, or at least one aspect of it, is that it emphasizes the plasticity of people. And like, whereas like you might push them further into their group identity or like have them dig their heels in when you like push them on that, when you approach them as an individual first, like, and this, again, this isn't like I'm going to go talk to every human being on the earth. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm talking about within my sphere of influence.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a neo-Nazi in my sphere of influence or a pedophile. Do you know, I've met at least 3 to at least three pedophiles who have like gotten in trouble for it. And so who knows how many pedophiles I've met that haven't. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so with that being said, it's like I can, within my sphere of influence, approach them as a member of the pedophile community or whatever, like a member of this X community.
The MAPS.
Or as an individual. They would like to be called. And what that might mean. But the thing is, that doesn't not take into account that they might be a pedophile. Do you know what I mean? As an individual, if you're a neo-Nazi and that's part of your individual identity, or you're a pedophile, or you're a MAGA Republican, you know, as the good president liked to put it, that's still something that is part of that that's taken into account. So I don't think it nullifies that. But when we're talking about like general overview stuff, sure. But for the most part, like I'm only operating within my sphere of influence.
Okay, so I'm really just trying to push on all
ideas
to really flesh this idea out. So take Terminal List, right? The guy has his family killed. And then he goes down to Mexico, and he and a small band of commandos, deadly commandos. Did I ever watch that show with you, by the way? Oh, what was that one called? Who killed Captain Alexi? Who killed Captain Alexi? It's the name of the movie.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that. I haven't seen it. No.
Oh, okay. It's hilarious. It is a film that is being taken seriously by the person who made it. I believe so. First Nigerian action movie. Who killed Captain Alexi? Anyway, in that movie, over and over, whenever like the commandos are supposed to be showing up, it's commandos, the deadly commandos. The narrator puts his two cents in. Anyway, so his band of deadly commandos walks into the group that one of the guys in the group killed his family, and they just go to town and take them all out.
Mm-hmm.
How do we look at that? In the movie, it's pretty easy to cheer that on because he's taking out the bad guys. But
so that's a movie.
I know it's a movie.
First of all, we would look at that as vigilante justice.
Okay, but say it's the government doing it. It's still like,
so there's no due process there. Like that, no, it's from a legal standpoint, it's totally wrong. I'm not sure where you're trying to take this.
Where I'm trying to,
I want to walk this train with you, but I'm not sure where you're
there
trying
are certain
to.
Groups. That by membership of the group, you make their group's actions possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take literally any of these labels.
Okay, let's take Nazi. So let's say you have a school teacher,
uh-huh,
who works for the North Korean government.
Uh-huh.
Okay, is it okay to start like sniping school teachers because North Korea is an enemy of the state? Like that's kind of like that seems to be kind of closer to the end game of what you're saying.
No, that's an extreme step of what I'm saying. So I get where you're pointing at. I'm really just trying to flesh this idea out. Yeah. I'm not arguing for it per se.
No, you are. You will die on this hill.
I will die here on this hill that, well, honestly, I don't agree with myself, but I'm really trying to steel man.
Or like people who have dealings with the FDA, right?
Okay,
like, dealings with the FDA. And we might say like the FDA is corrupt. People who deal with the FDA are corrupt. Anybody who deals with the FDA is a scumbag and should die. So like,
well, then you don't get any medical treatment.
Well, but now am I okay treating you like garbage because you deal with the FDA? Am I okay murdering you because you have dealings with the FDA? Like, am I okay ostracizing you because you have dealings with the FDA? Or do I look at that with a more nuanced approach and be like, okay, what's your real relationship and what does that mean?
Now you're taking tertiary groups and applying the information as if they are the same group.
Tertiary!
And that's different.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Right. That's fair. Good point.
So the groups that you're naming, like, this is a school teacher who works for the government. Well, yeah, but they're not making any of the decisions. It's like saying this.
Well, that's like saying that, but that's like saying the people who are turning on the gas chambers aren't making the decisions, you know, like, person turning on the gas chamber didn't make the decision. Just like, I mean, the school teacher made the decision to teach propaganda just as much as the gas chamber person made the decision to flip it on, but they were told to do it by someone else in power.
Well, yeah, and that scenario is pretty extreme because the person in power literally would kill you if you didn't just do what they said.
Well, in both those situations.
Yeah, you'd literally just die there. So that gets,
because in one of them,
extreme.
They're literally Hitler.
One of them is literally Hitler, yeah. But basically what I'm trying to get at here is, say you've got the mob,
mm-hmm,
right? There may be, the reason it's hard to take down the mob The reason it's hard to take down the mob leader is because the mob leader isn't the one doing any of the things.
Right.
They've got a lot of gray in between them and the things they're telling people to do. That makes some bad people very hard to take down. Now, I understand and I am in agreement with the...
Did you say agreement?
I'm in agreement with...
I like that. What did you
talk about? I have a lovely agreement. I'm in agreement with the idea that we would rather have guilty people go free than innocent people put in jail. Okay. So I'm trying to steel man an argument that as I say it is like gagging.
No, and I'm trying to learn this with you, not trying to like win something.
Yes. I really want to emphasize
even though
to
everyone
all
can
the
see
listeners,
that I'm dominating, that's not the yes. point. The point is we're learning together.
I'm just trying to emphasize to all the listeners. I am not trying to put forth an opinion with which I agree. I do not.
He's just a Nazi sympathizer. Just let him.
I'm just trying to take these to their extreme so that we can analyze them, see if they're worth anything, which the farther we get, the more we go, yeah, no, this probably isn't worth looking at much further.
But actually, let me step onto your side here for a second.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. When Larry Sharp was on and we talked about the government a little bit, he was like, look, if you work for the government, pay your bills, do your thing, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, just like how it took people to support the Nazi regime, it takes people to support the DMV.
Yeah.
And the IRS.
Yeah.
Like, if nobody worked for the IRS or the DMV, they wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not the government who's, like, controlling our lives with these institutions. It's the individual human beings who are choosing money over principles. They're like, hey, I would rather get paid and exert power over someone else's life than get a different job or try to learn a new skill.
Yeah.
And I do find that to be pretty reprehensible. I think it's pretty terrible. I think like it's not like we can blame the government all day long for making these agencies, but the people who are trading in their principles so that they can get $15 an hour working at the DMV.
I don't think they are trading in their principles. I think they have different principles than you.
You sinners.
But I think what we've come
to... But supposing that they were.
Yeah. I think what we're coming to with this whole conversation is that we have confirmed via deep dive and trying to put forth the best argument that I could towards othering people, that what we've said all along, that othering people is bad, is bad.
So we were correct in our first assertions.
In our first assertions.
Back a long time ago when we first asserted that, like, 2 years ago or
yes.
whatever?
Yes. So now what we're saying is we have gone through a deep analysis as to why this would be bad. We have gone through, and the farther you go down the path of, yeah, but try to think about the worst thing you can think of, and it still comes out with a terrible scenario, I think you can say othering people is bad. So, shame on you, Mr. President. Stop othering people.
And I think the real lesson that we're taking from this is don't work for the DMV. not saying that all people who work for the DMV are scumbags, but on an individual basis, I would be happy to judge them. Okay, that's all I have.
I shouldn't have said pedophiles. I should have said people who work for the DMV.
The DMV or the IRS. And
you are more sympathetic to the pedophiles than to the DMV employees.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Okay, it's true. What am I going to say to that? All right, pedophiles don't usually bother me. DMV and IRS, they actively take a part in robbing from me and causing problems in my life. You know, if pedophiles were just like organizing and coming and stealing from my bank account or like taking my property, then I'd probably have a bigger issue with them, you know?
I should have said IRS agents. It would have made so much better conversation.
We'll just have Mac go through and just anywhere we say pedophile, we'll just swap in like DMV clerk or something.
IRS agent, DMV clerk. Okay. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed that episode. We talked about this principle of othering people and really in trying to make some defense for it showed that it is just terrible.
I have a call to action, if I may.
Do it.
Okay. Go and check out that speech that was given by President Biden and see if you can understand what we're talking about and if you agree or disagree and why. So we can kind of further the conversation a little bit. I think it's important not just to hear people talking about it, but to learn to see it for yourself and think, like, is that really what's going on here? Or are they just, like, flapping their jowls?
I will say that this is going to sound really self-plug-like.
Oh, no. Self-plug. Oh, yeah, yeah. Subscribe to our channel. Oh,
I was going to say, go over to the episode that just dropped yesterday of us talking about reacting to that speech from Joe Biden. And the reason I say to watch it with us reacting is because if you want to learn how to see these things for yourself, it very much helps to watch a bunch of different people react to this, not just ours. Go watch. I know Tim Pool did one live with Matt Kibbe, and that was pretty good. But you watch these things where you do these reaction videos and you watch these reactions and you see how people come to the conclusions they come to, and you can start to spot the different things for yourself. That's how I came around to it, was watching enough reaction type content to be able to start recognizing things for myself. So that's a good way to get there.
Yeah. And now he's a full-fledged conspiracy theorist.
No! Now I know that they're turning the frogs
gay!
They're
turning the frogs gay!
Turn the friggin' frogs gay! They're turning the friggin' frogs gay! That song is hilarious.
Did you see that corn meme I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Chase sent me this video, showed me this video of a corn kid doing a corn song.
Yeah, Remington is very not on the social medias, except Facebook.
That's where I get most of my memes from. Is
the old man.
I'm on the YouTube. I'm on the tube. I watch my own stuff, though. I watch what the algorithm tells me to watch. It's like,
welcome to your echo chamber.
Yeah, it's like, all right, here you go. Here's some Viking music, and
it's okay. I know my echo chamber. My echo chamber is all about current news, politics,
anime,
and Teslas, and a little bit of anime. There's a little bit of One Piece in there, but for the most part, it's Teslas.
Cute.
That's like the majority of what it shows me is videos about Tesla.
Nice.
Yeah. So now everyone knows.
Yeah, so what we're trying to say here, what we're trying to say is stay dangerous.
Keep your conversations tactical after you subscribe.
Goodbye. Oh, you guys are still here? Oh, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Thanks.